Okay, good evening. So the topic that I wanted to discuss this evening is a topic which actually comes up from time to time. Periodically, I'll get somebody contacting me. They are doing building work or something like that, or they're moving into a new house and they want to do something in the garden, whatever it is. And they've heard there's something about not cutting down fruit trees, or maybe you can cut down fruit trees. When can you cut down fruit trees? What's the din? So it's a halacha. It's a question that comes up, as I say, periodically. It's not every Monday and Thursday that I get asked this shaila, but it certainly does come up, and it's an interesting halachic question for various reasons that we'll see. Partly because not extra halachic concerns are regarded as somewhat normative in this regard. It's also particularly interesting because if you try and find this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you won't find it in Shulchan Aruch. You'll only find it in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. It's not mentioned explicitly in Shulchan Aruch. That doesn't mean to say it doesn't exist. It just wasn't, for some reason, it wasn't codified in the Shulchan Aruch. So let's start off with the psukim. The psukim in Dvarim, Perek Kaf, Pesukim 19 and 20. Ki tatzor eleyamim rabim lilachim. So it's talking about when you're besieging a city for a period of time to fight war against it, latafsa, to take hold of it. Lo tashchit et etzah lindoach alav garsen. You mustn't cut down its trees by wielding an axe against them. Ki mimenu tochel, because you eat from them. V'otor lo tichrot, so you mustn't cut it down. Ki adam eis hasadela avon mipanecha b'matzor, for is the tree of the field man that it should be besieged of you? That's a very tricky phrase in the pasuk, which is for a parasha she'er rather than for a halacha she'er, so we'll leave that for another time. But the point is that the trees haven't done anything to you. They haven't fought a battle against you. So therefore, why should you harm them? Rak eitz asher teidaki lo eitz ma'achalhu. But a tree that you know is not a food tree, a fruit tree, or tashchit v'charata, that you can destroy and cut down, v'anita matzor al ha'er, and then you can build fortifications against the city, asher hi osa imach milchama, which is fighting against you, asher hi osa imcha milchama, which is fighting against you, adridata, until it falls. So what we've got in Pasuk Yud Tet, we've got a din of lo tashchit et etzah, that you mustn't cut down any trees, and in Pasuk Tet, Pasuk Kaf, an exception to that rule, that rak eitz asher teidaki lo eitz ma'achalhu, that if you know that that tree is not a fruit tree, so then you are allowed to cut it down. So from the psukim, it would seem quite straightforward. Fruit trees you can't cut down, non-fruit trees you can cut down. But from the pasuk, it might be that we're only talking here about eitz milchama, that we're only talking about a time of war. That's what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is telling us when you are besieging a city in battle, so then you can't do this. Maybe this is only a din in battle, but if it's in another context, maybe it would be permitted. On the other hand, we might say, no, the reverse. We might say that, in actual fact, if it's prohibited in battle, then kal vachomer, when you're at your leisure, you certainly can't cut down these trees. So let's look in the Rambam and see what the Rambam tells us. The Rambam in Hilchot Melachim, which is the halachot which deal with waging war, the Rambam tells us in Halacha Chet and Halacha Tet as follows. We're going to read them through carefully because we'll see a number of important details if we pay careful attention to the Lashon of the Rambam. So the Rambam says, Ein kotzitzin ilanei ma'achal shechutz la'medina. You can't cut down fruit trees that are outside of the built-up area. Ve'ein monin mehem amatamayim, nor can you divert water away from them, Gideshi Yavshu, so that they would dry up, Sheneemar lo tashchit et eitza, because the pasuk says you mustn't destroy its trees. V'chol hakotzeitz lokeh, and anybody who does cut them down gets malkut. I think a couple of people have just joined. Jonathan, can you reshare the makarot, please, for the benefit of people who've just joined us? So the Rambam's telling us already two important things. He's telling us, number one, that v'eimonin mehem amatamayim k'dei sheyavshu. We're not only talking about actively destroying trees, but we're also talking about passively destroying trees. Passively destroying trees would also be prohibited. It says you mustn't divert water away from them. I might have thought it's only if I get my axe and chop the tree down that it would be prohibited. What we're seeing here is also what we would call grammar, an indirect way of harming the tree just by withholding water from it, is also going to be prohibited. He's also telling us the nature of this prohibition. It's a chiyuv malkut. If you do it, then you get malkut. Aval kotzitzin otor, avalo b'matzor bilvad. Now, very importantly, the Rambam's telling us, even though the psukim are talking about a context of war, avalo b'matzor bilvad, we're not only talking about a context of war, ela b'chol makom, but in any instance, kol hakotzeitz ilan ma'achal derech hashchata lokeh. Anybody who cuts down a fruit tree, derech hashchata, now this is a very important phrase here in the Rambam, derech hashchata means in a destructive manner, lokeh, he'll get malkut, aval kotzitzin oto, but you can cut it down, im hayamazik elanot achirim. If it's, you're not doing it for destructive purposes, but you're doing it for constructive purposes, meaning that im hayamazik elanot achirim, you've got other trees which it's damaging. You've got, this is a pear tree, and you've got apple trees as well in the same garden, and the roots from the pear trees are damaging the apple trees, or something like that. Or perhaps it's the pear tree is a little bit infested in some way, and you're worried about the infestation or the disease being transmitted to the next tree. Or shemazik besadeh achirim, or that it's damaging somebody else's field. What would that be a case of? Well, my tree is in my back garden, and its roots are coming into your back garden and disturbing your vegetable patch, or disturbing your swimming pool even, or your goldfish pond, whatever it is. Or mipnei shedam mavya karim, or because it's got value to it. So it's you've got a cherry tree, and cherry wood is quite valuable. Your tree's not producing many cherries. You only get about a kilo of cherries from it a year. And a kilo of cherries costs, £2, £3 in the shop, something like that. Whereas if you chop the tree down and sell it for cherry wood so that people can make their dining room tables out of cherry wood, or the Rav's Shtender out of cherry wood, whatever it's going to be, you could sell this for a lot of money. Lo asra Torah ela derech hashchata. All those cases are permissible, because what the Torah said you can't do is cut it down in a destructive manner. But if this isn't in a destructive manner, then it's going to be permissible. So he's given us a number of exceptions to the rule. It's prohibited unless it's causing damage either to your field or somebody else's field, or that it's of value. Halacha tet, kol ilan sarak, that any tree which is not a fruit tree, mutar lakotz oto v'afilu eino tzarich lo, you can just cut down willy-nilly. V'cheini lan ma'achal shehizkin. Likewise, if you've got an ilan ma'achal, a fruit tree, shehizkin, which is old, It produces so little fruit that it's not worth worrying about. Mutala kutsoto, you can cut it down, because that's not really regarded as a fruit tree. Fruit tree is something that produces fruit which is of some value. V'kama yehei hazai et osa v'lo yakutsenu. So how much would an olive tree produce so that you mustn't cut it down? Rova hakav zeitim. A quarter of a kav of zeitim. That's not an awful lot of olives. V'dekel shuose kav tamarim lo yakutsenu. And the dekel, a palm tree that produces a kav of dates, you also shouldn't cut down. So it's an interesting question. Would be is this subjective or of or objective? Meaning that it might have been in Talmudic times that a kav of a cove of stuff was of value, whereas now it's it's as much less value. A cove isn't an enormous quantity. So I haven't seen any discussion on that point, but I think it's worth considering. A calf is the volume of 24 eggs. So, a quarter of a calf, we said, that would be the volume of 6 eggs. So 6 eggs worth of olives, is basically a jar or two of olives. So I don't know if nowadays we would regard a jar or two of olives as being really worth very much. But the principle that the Rambam is giving us is that once it's no longer producing a lot of fruit, so then it's no longer regarded as a fruit tree. So the Rambam has given us a number of, if you like, either heterim or exclusions to the rule. So let's try and apply them to the cases that are sometimes posed to me. So first case would be that you've got a fruit tree, an apple tree in your back garden, but its roots are damaging your property. Its roots are, have reached your extension and they're now causing damage with the foundations of your extension. So it would seem that, according to the Rambam, that's quite straightforward, that it should be permitted for you to cut it down, because he said, it's causing damage. That's the point. It's causing damage to your property. It would seem to be all right to cut it down. The bigger question is, that comes up, you want to build an extension. You want to build out into the garden, and the tree is there. Are you allowed to cut the tree down? It's not damaging anything that's there. It's just preventing you doing something in the future. Interestingly, the poskim say that even if it's blocking out the light, you could cut it down. That's also regarded as damage. So the tree has just grown and grown, and once upon a time you could see out of your window into your neighbour's back garden, and now that view has been hidden from you by the apple tree. So can you cut it down? Well, I'm not sure whether you're allowed to look into your neighbour's garden, but putting that to one side, there's no light getting into your kitchen, so you could cut it down. But here we're talking about a different case. You want to build an extension, so it's true that the tree is in the way, but it's not actually causing any damage. And there it's not so clear that you would be allowed to cut it down. Okay. As I said, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't directly address this. Shulchan Aruch talks about Baal Tashkit, but doesn't talk about the issue of cutting down trees, not because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold with the din which is in the Torah. I don't know why it doesn't actually appear in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's addressed by the Achronim. So I want to start off with a passage in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Choshen Mishpat, Shmirat HaGuf VaHaNefesh, says as follows. So under what circumstances are you not allowed to cut down a tree? When you cut it down in a destructive manner. But if it's, in a constructive manner, you're doing it so that you can fix something or improve something, mutar lekalkel im iefshar letaken ela al yedei kilkul. So then if that's the only way you're able to do it, then you're allowed to cut it down. Kagon ilan ma'achal she'makishet ha'karka u'mazik li'ilanos achirim ha'topim imenu. You've got a tree which is weakening the ground or damaging other trees. V'cheinim sarich limkomo livnot sham. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Rav is added in a consideration, something we didn't see in the Rambam. So he's added in, v'cheinim sarich limkomo livnot sham. You want the space to build there. You want to build a conservatory. So that would be that would seem to be permissible according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, or shema pil al chalon, or it's blocking the light from the window. Mutar lekatzo, you can cut it down. V'cheinim damav yekarim levinyan yotem min machan. Likewise, if it's valuable and you can sell it for more, then that's going to be permissible. Look at halacha tet zayin, where the Rambam tells us in the first two lines, kol ilan srak mutar lekatzo, v'einu afilu einu sarich lo klal. So an ilan srak, that's a tree which isn't a fruit tree, you can cut it down under all circumstances. V'chein ilan ma'achal she'izkin v'einu osei ledavar muat, she'einu ra'u litruach bo. Likewise, an old tree which isn't producing a lot of fruit, you can cut, it's not worth it, mutar lekatzo. V'chein kol ka yosei bahem b'kikulei shar dvarim. Likewise, any time that it causes damage, you can, or it's disruptive, you can get rid of it. If it's not making, if it is making a certain amount of fruit, then you can't cut it down. Then, a very important line here. It's also dangerous to cut down a fruit tree. It's dangerous to cut down a fruit tree, unless it's in the way that we've just explained. So unless it's fitting in with any of the previous models that we've mentioned, that he's mentioned, that the Rambam's mentioned, then you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree, and not only are you not allowed to cut it down, but it's also regarded as dangerous to cut it down. Now, where does this notion of it being dangerous come from? So this is a Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma on Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Bet gives us various circumstances under which you're not allowed to cut down these trees, and it mentions one of the Amoraim who says that my son died because he cut. Rabbi Chanina says lo shachiv shivchat bari ela dekat te'enta belozmana, because he cut down a te'ena. A fig tree, it's belozmana, when it wasn't ready to be cut down, it was still producing fruit. So we see that not only is there an issa, not only is there a prohibition in doing this, but there's also a danger involved with it. The assumption is that Rabbi Chanina, you know, he's saying the only thing that my son Shivchat ever did wrong was cut down this tree. You know, I can't say that he died as a result of anything else. He was, you know, pretty much a tzaddik. You know, so we need to be very, very careful about it. Now, because of this. Because of this notion in the Gemara in Bava Kamma that Shivchat died as a result of cutting down the tree, a number of Achronim actually indicate that it's not just talking about in a case where it's prohibited, but possibly even a case where it's permitted that there's a sakana in cutting down a tree, or alternatively, it might be that no, if it's permitted, then you can cut it down, but if you get it wrong, then there'll be a sakana. might be that, you know, generally speaking, you get something wrong, that's shogeg, that's inadvertent. So you wouldn't be chayav. No, you did that. I thought the tree wasn't producing any more fruit. You know, for 2 years, it hadn't produced any fruit. So I decided I could cut it down. Okay? And then, but, you know, it might have been in the third year, maybe it would produce more fruit. You know, maybe it was just, I don't know, it had a hiccup for 2 years and didn't produce fruit. Maybe the third year it'll produce fruit. I don't know. So if I cut it down after 2 years, I'll never know, of course, whether it would have produced fruit. But even if it would have done, I wouldn't be chayef because I was, you know, acting in good faith. It was shogeg to cut it down. But if it was going to produce more fruit, then I've done something which is dangerous to me because I've cut something down which still produces more fruit, and that is dangerous. So the Achronim are many of the Achronim are very nervous and very hesitant against cutting down fruit trees, even in cases where it's ostensibly permissible, because maybe it's not actually permissible, and if you do it wrong, there's a sakana involved. Now let's look at a case from the Taz, the Turei Zahav, the Taz commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Taz in Simon Kuftet Zayin says as follows: Odachem atzin shasru chazam mipnei asakana shelo lakutz ilan haose peirot. Now this is an interesting formulation here. He said we found something else that the Chazal said you mustn't do because of sakana. So this is Chazal, not the Torah, saying you mustn't do it. Shelo lakutz ilan haose peirot. You mustn't cut down a tree that produces fruit. Now hold on, the Torah tells us that you mustn't do that. So why is he telling us that this is Chazal? So I think there are two ways of understanding. Either he's saying that the din min haTorah is to cut it down in times of war, and the din mid Rabbanan is to cut it down under all circumstances. But I don't think that's what he's saying, because nobody else, the Rishonim don't seem to suggest that, and the Rambam says you get malkut for cutting down a tree, which would indicate that it's Doraita. Or it's that he's understanding that even in a case where it's not prohibited min haTorah, because it's causing damage or something like that, Chazal said you shouldn't do it because of sakana. De'ita b'ferek ha'chovel, because the Gemara on Daf Tzadik Aleph says, Amar Rav ha'itikla d'tam ka ba'asulim miktzei, v'amar Rav chanina lo shachit shikvat b'ri, ela d'katza te'ina b'lo zimna. That Gemara again, where we're told that you're not allowed to cut down a tree if it produces a kav of fruit. And then Rav Chanina says his son died as a result of cutting down a tree prematurely. V'amrinan hatan Rav Chizda dekel, dekai b'nei gufni. Rav Chizda saw a dekel, a palm tree, that was between the vines. Amalit shame zilak rinhu. He told his attendant to go and cut it down. Peirushot sin hezeka b'nikat ha'aretz ligfanim. V'hem chashivim yoter. It's damaging the other trees. And the other trees are more important or more valuable, that it's permissible. The Chatav HaRosh Sham, Chenim Hayat Sarklim Komo Mutar. The Rosh says if you need the space, then it's permissible. So that's also what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Umizeh Hitarti Lechad Shayelo Karkei Melanot. So he says this led me to be lenient and to allow a person who's got a field, a person who had a field with trees, now kutzai lanot, to cut down the trees, afal pishish behem peirot, even though there's fruit there, kedei livnot beit dira aleha, so that you can build a beit dira there, so you can build a house there. So the Taz, it's an interesting Taz, because he starts off by saying that, you know, there's an Issa Chazal Mipnei HaSakana. And as I said, I'm not clear exactly why he's calling it an Issa Chazal. But his conclusion is that if it's for a constructive purpose, then it's going to be permissible. I say a constructive purpose, Tarech Iyun a bit. He says, Kedei Livnot Beit Dira Aleha, in order that you can build a house there. Now, this is a point that's actually discussed a little bit amongst the Achronim. They said there could be a difference between you know, you've got a you've got a three-bedroomed house, and you know it's a small house, and Baruch Hashem, you've got a big family, and you want to extend out into the garden. You need to build another bedroom downstairs. You can't build up any longer. You need to build another bedroom downstairs. That's a Beit Dira. So that's going to be permissible. But what if you just want to build a snooker room, or you want to build your indoor cinema, okay, in the garden? And the garden's got obviously trees there. You want to build your indoor cinema there. Is that counted as Beit Dira? Is that going to be permissible or not permissible? In actual fact, it's similar to the question somebody in Ale asked me a little while back. They wanted to put climbing equipment in their garden. They wanted to put a swing and a slide and those sorts of climbing frame in the garden. And was that going to be permitted? Where they would be getting rid of the fruit trees. That might be a bit different to Beit Dira. Is Beit Dira just an example of, you know, a house? You know, you use a house for all sorts of purposes, or is it specific that it's for living in? So that's a little bit unclear. What if I wanted to build, not as a Beit Dira, but I wanted to have a shed at the end of the garden where I could retreat to and prepare all my shiurim there? So that would be a different, perhaps a different case. So we've certainly got you know various questions about it. Let's look at a tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who helped somewhat with this. So he says as follows: limon matok, so he said, you've got a sweet lemon tree. Sweet lemons, apparently not many people eat sweet lemons. You eat bitter lemons, or you use bitter lemons. So it's not producing fruit of value. It might be, remember, if you've just got one tree in your back garden, so, you know, it produces a fair number of lemons, but how many sweet lemons do you want to eat? And you can't sell them. You know, it's not like, you know, you've got anywhere to sell them. So it's not producing any money for you. So he says it's clear that if the fruit is worth more than the wood, then you can't cut it down. But in our case, that's the fact you need the space. It's more valuable to you to cut down the tree than to retain the fruit. It seems that you can cut it down. On the understanding, and this is important, he's saying that you can't uproot it together with the roots and the surrounding earth and replant it somewhere else. So this is an important notion. What Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be suggesting to us is that in actual fact, that if possible, what you should do is you should try to uproot it and replant it somewhere else. That would be the best thing to do. If you can't do that, then you can cut it down. So even though there's a heter to cut it down, that's a second best opportunity. You can avoid it. If you can replant it somewhere else, then that would be best. So I suppose, you know, it depends. You know, you've got a small apple tree in the middle of your garden. You planted it when you moved in, and you thought it would be fun to have an apple tree there. And then that was before you've got kids climbing on the climbing frame and that sort of thing. And you decide it's now a bad idea to have the apple tree there. So it's not a massive apple tree. It's not an oak, partly because apple trees never grow into oaks. But besides, you know, it's a sapling. It's a small tree. He's only been there 5 years, so it's fairly easy to get somebody into a garden centre in to dig it out and, you know, put an advert on Edgware K or Facebook, you know, that you've got, would somebody like to be part of a mitzvah and take your apple tree? So that would be the best thing to do. On the other hand, if it's an apple tree which has been there for 200 years, okay, there's no way that you can remove it with all the roots, then he says you can remove it you can just cut it down. At the end of the tshuva, he also makes an observation that in a case where it's permissible, there's just a few lines up from the end, he says you should actually try and get it to be, if you are cutting a tree down, even though it's permissible, you should get a nochri to do it rather than a Jew. Even if you're going to have to pay a bit more, but get nochrim to do it. I'm not sure how many Jewish tree surgeons or gardeners there are around here. There are some, but you could get better to get a nochri to do it than a Jew. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has said that even in cases where it's permissible, there's definitely a preference, firstly, to try and uproot the tree and replant it, and if you're not doing that, to get a nochri to cut it down for you. Now, let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, "Niktzotz ilam machal asu min haTorah." So, min haTorah, you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. Chazal amru sheish gam sakana bazeh. Chazal said it's also dangerous. V'lachein yesh mi shemachmir af betzarech limkomo. So, he's citing a view that's brought in the Berhetiv that even in a case where you need the space, which min hadin is permissible, you still shouldn't cut it down. I think the reason why the Achronim are saying this is because that, you know, yes, I understand in a case where I definitely need the space, I can cut it down. But sometimes these things are a bit difficult to judge. And seeing as there is a danger involved, if you get it wrong, so therefore they want you to be extra cautious. Omnam midina im sarachlim komo mutar. He says, min adin, if you need the space, it's permissible. Chenim ma'pil al chaluno. Likewise, if it's blocking out the light. V'kol shekein she'en kepeda tzitzat anafim. Certainly you can just cut down branches, because of course that actually makes the rest of the tree more productive. V'davka k'sher tzarachlim komo levinyanim. Now, only where you need the space for binyanim, buildings. But just to give you more space, latil ba'alma, doesn't mean going on a tiul in your background, but it means sort of, you know, for recreational purposes, ein liktzots, you shouldn't cut it down. Now, again, this is, you know, a very difficult thing to measure. In terms of, okay, so he's saying binyanim. So what does that mean? I understand that I need another bedroom in my house. So I'm going to build another bedroom. Okay, that's going to be permissible. I need to extend my dining room because when I've got my children and my grandchildren and my nieces and my nephews, you know, the 41 people I like to have for Seder every year, I haven't got space unless I extend the dining room. Okay, that lichara is permissible. But what about for the snooker room? What about for the, you know, the home cinema? Okay, presumably I can't do it because I want the climbing frame in the garden. Presumably that's latil ba'alma. It's not, though, immediately obvious to me why, you know, a climbing frame is regarded as for my kids to, you know, get outside and burn off their energy, why that's regarded as any less critical than, you know, another room in the house. You know, okay, you know, I won't invite so many people for Seder or whatever it is, you know. So it's, you know, it's a little bit ill-defined, and I suspect that it's reflecting the notion of sakana, that even though we say it's muta min hadin, because there's this sakana involved, that we want to circumscribe it as much as possible. The other possibility is, of course, that it's a value judgment in terms of what we call tzorech, what we call need. But needs are very subjective. You know, so fine, you know, my apple tree is destroying my pear trees. No, so I'll sell apples for cider instead of pears for cider. You know, what's the difference? So Rav Avadia Yosef also addresses this question in a tshuva. And says similar to the Aruch HaShulchan. He's essentially quoting the Aruch HaShulchan. He says if you're extending your property, your house, whatever, because you just don't have enough space for people to live, it's permissible. But if you're just doing it l'tiul harvacha ba'alma, just because you want a television room as well as a lounge, or l'noivu l'yofi, just to make the property seem nicer, he doesn't allow it. So, you know, we're seeing a certain reservation there. A further way of dealing with it, which is suggested by some poskim, is actually to sell the tree and the surrounding ground to a goy and then let them, cut it down. So, extend my kitchen. You know, sometimes people want to extend their kitchen. You know, it's a small kitchen and they've got a growing family. They want a bigger kitchen. So that would seem to be permissible. I think that is, for purposes of dwelling. It's not just for noi ba'alma. It's not just for recreational purposes. It should be permissible. Nevertheless, there would be a preference in that case to sell the ground to a goy, get him to come and uproot the tree and take it away, and then you'll buy the ground back. So, in conclusion, there's a certain amount of lack of clarity amongst the issues. But what we're seeing is certainly a trend that on the one hand certain things are min hadin permissible, but a reluctance to allow them unless they're regarded as essential because of this consideration of sakana. And because of this consideration of sakana, to try and minimize your involvement. So option number one is, if you can, to uproot it and replant it somewhere else. Option number two would be to sell the karka and the tree to a goy and let him come and cut it down. Option number three would at least be to pay a goy to come and do it. There's a question how that really helps, because we generally say there's no shlichut lidvar aveira, meaning that if you get a goy to do something for you which is against the din, it's as if you've done it. It's your own sin. You might not be chayev malkut for it, but it's still your own transgression. And then failing all that, if it's really necessary, you can cut it down. So it's an interesting movement in the Achronim, meaning that if you start with the Rambam, you'll often come to the conclusion, yeah, this will be mutter. But as you go through the Achronim, you see that there's a hesitation about doing it. And when I first encountered this Shaila a few years back, I discussed it with some of the local Rabbonim who've got more experience in this than me. They were very cognizant of the notion of sakana here and the attitude of the Achronim to be very reluctant to do this. So, it's interesting sort of charting this development through the halacha. Adkan. So that